It's April 24th, and we've got a big old batch of business news coming at you, but also social media?
Which is just Facebook. It's getting worse and worse, but Facebook is so newsworthy. Like they do so many stupid things. You got to talk about them. But first, the massive news, and surely you've all already heard of it. Maybe not if you've been living under a rock. But not since the end of the Cold War, the fall of those dirty Soviets, have we seen something that have been the two superpowers finally ending conflict. I don't think we've seen anything like that since then. And that, of course, is Apple and Qualcomm.
Apple versus Qualcomm. I wouldn't say that they're hugging it out. But,
well, I wouldn't say that about the Cold War either.
Apple has said that Qualcomm's tech was no good, but in private communications, it was the best. So this is a WaPo article. There's also a pretty good article from CNBC and some other articles around the internet.
Everybody wrote about this.
Yeah. 2017, it was originally, like, this all stems from insanity going all the way back to like 2016, 2017. Apple and Qualcomm have been fighting hardcore. I don't know where Qualcomm got the documents, but the documents that Qualcomm has been submitting in this court case are just unbelievable. And looking at the stuff that the Qualcomm CEO has said to the press, like, remember when he said, I think we're pretty close to working this out with Apple, and it was just very calm and collected, and then, like, Tim Cook retorted very, like, almost within hours. It was like, no, we haven't spoken in three quarters. Why would we be working it out? Well, it turns out that Qualcomm got their hands on a bunch of documents and internal communications from the engineers, and the engineers were saying that Qualcomm's modems were the best, and a lot of really interesting stuff has come out of this court case. I mean, industry pundits were already aware of this, but like Intel also had 5G modems, but the 5G modems were 30% slower. Remember the whole, like, Qualcomm could do a gigabit on LTE on 4G, but Intel could only do 600 megabit. So when Apple launched their iPhone that had the modem, the fancy pants modem in it, they capped the performance of Qualcomm's modem at 600 megabit, which was actually a violation of their agreement with Qualcomm. And this, they submitted documents to that effect. So Apple, if you look at the court documents, has been hideously evil, like shockingly evil with all of this the whole time.
The big sticking point was you pay Qualcomm for their patents if you do business with them. Apple didn't like that, but from everything I've read, I didn't see anything about that going away. So, seems like Qualcomm got basically everything they wanted.
Yeah.
And there was also a sum of money that will be paid from Apple to Qualcomm. We don't know what that was. I'm sure there were several zeros.
It is undisclosed. That's the really classy thing with Qualcomm this whole time is, like, there wasn't really a lot of grandstanding from the Qualcomm CEO. He's just like, if you're just doing this for negotiation or business or whatever, that's fine. But here is the price. This is what it is. This is what we charge the industry. It is not more than it should be. It is not less than it should be. It is what it is. This is what we think it's worth. Qualcomm actually ended up, you know, laying off like 1,500 people because of Apple's grandstanding and antics. I mean, at one point, Qualcomm submitted confidential Qualcomm-only information from Qualcomm engineers to Intel engineers to try to get Intel to shore up their product, which is a violation of pretty severe and egregious violation of their terms for using this technology.
Won't go into the current batch of iPhones in production. It's too late for that. But by, I think they said 2020 or 2021, it'll be all Qualcomm. Should be good for Apple. Should be good for Qualcomm. Should be good for the consumer because, you know, less fines, you would assume maybe that'll trickle down a little bit for you. I can't think of anybody who's really going to be, you know, a big loser in this situation. Can you?
Oh, wait. Intel has said that it's going to exit the 5G phone modems market just hours after the Apple and Qualcomm settlement. So this is probably a large part of what was driving things. But also, I think in no small part, the fact that Apple submitted stuff to Intel and was acting in, I mean, to me, the stuff that has come out in this court case shows that Apple is acting in bad faith. And Intel so far behind Qualcomm on the 5G side of things that it can't catch up. And even if Intel were able to catch up, there would be that specter of having used Qualcomm proprietary information to make their own product better. I think it probably makes sense with where Intel is in the semiconductor manufacturing market for them to exit. This is a big deal.
Good time to raise your prices if you're Qualcomm.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that those prices, you were saying, it's like, this is going to be good for everybody, but it's like Apple demands those profit margins, those crazy, crazy profit margins. So they're probably going to pass that cost on to the consumer and say it's Qualcomm's fault, because that's what they were doing the whole time. Apple was literally like one of the things. I thought we had a story on this, but if not, I don't know. This should be the next story. But it was Apple was buying cheap technology patents, like patent portfolios, to try to say that Qualcomm's royalty demands were out of line with the industry norms, but it was really Apple manipulating things. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, you might not be surprised, but I was surprised that Apple was that evil. I mean, that was like hideously evil, shockingly evil.
If this has changed your mind and you say, all right, now I feel comfortable going out, getting an iPhone, even though I have to have the Intel modem, or maybe you're a big Intel fan and you're like, I've got to get the last generation Intel modem before they stop making them.
It's a collector's item because the battery life is so terrible.
You might, and if you're in the New York area, you probably want to order that online.
Apple's Fifth Avenue store has been having a bed bug problem. Turns out New York City's got a bed bug problem, but the pictures from this were scary. So like the employee locker section, all the employees are just keeping all their stuff in garbage bags. So yeah, it's like, there's a lot of bed bugs. We don't know what's going on.
Those are garbage bags that they were told when they came to work, and they were like, those bed bugs, we must get out of here. They were told, no, no, here's some garbage bags. Just put your stuff in garbage bags and get back to work. And, of course, didn't tell the public. And you got to think, you know, the Apple hipsters coming in there, they would not be happy about bed bugs. So, yeah, bad news. And perhaps another shot in the arm for Apple is going to be these headlines coming out of Samsung, which are...
It's going to be a shot in the dark or shot in the arm for Huawei, because they've got the other foldable display, but maybe not.
But I think this will turn people off to them in general.
Galaxy Fold review units are failing left and right with disastrous display issues. So this is the folding phone. So I don't... There's probably something to this, but it is really hard to sort through this for the signal-to-noise ratio. So like digging into this... Marquez accidentally tried to pull there's like a plastic film over the screen, because it's not exactly glass, because glass doesn't bend. So like there's this plastic film thing on the screen, and he's like, oh, that's a protective thing that I can remove and put my own protector on there. No, that was part of the display. So he ruined his, but there are other people, and there was another reviewer that did that like tried to pull the film off and ruined their phone. But some of the people that are having fold problems didn't try to pull the screen protector off. Like, lumps formed in the display, and then soon after the lumps led to the display failing. So it's really hard to suss out what's going on with this, other than the phone definitely has a reduced durability.
But even if these people are using them incorrectly, you, based on the number of people that it is, and plus these are all like, you know, early review units or whatever.
Yeah.
These aren't the kind of people who are going to make dumb mistakes with a phone. Now, you could say that peeling off the film is a dumb mistake, but every phone you've ever got your hands on has a protective film that you peel off.
Yeah.
So to have one that it's like, don't peel this off, it speaks to the fragility. And like, I think the foldable phones were rushed out.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ready for foldable phones. I don't think there's a demand for them. And what are those, like $2,000?
Yeah, Samsung's got to beat Huawei, though.
Well, they didn't. I think this is a bigger... I think this is more embarrassing than the exploding phones.
Is it like a rush to the marathon, but like the guy, he doesn't run across the finish line, he trips face first into the finish line? I've seen that a few times in like the Olympic thing, where it's like the sprint runner.
Well, no, it's more like he pushes himself that last 2 miles, but he's pissing blood for like 4 weeks, and his kidney's shut down, and he can't run in the next marathon. You know,
we made it, and it's like, hold on there.
Yeah,
never open your folding phone.
It's good. Well, it's maybe not a direct comparison, but 5GE.
Oh yeah,
it's like, oh, let's be the first to do it. but let's just do it so badly that we become the laughingstock of the industry. So, Tesla news, and you know I can't do it. I can't pass up a story about a Tesla that burst into flames.
Now, Tesla vehicle bursts into flames and burns for hours in Monroeville. Now, that's not the story, because, you know, in before, gas fires are super common. You'd never hear about a car that runs on gas catching on fire. The news story here is that the fire department pulled the fuse out of the battery and were told that it was safe, and it burst into flames hours later, with the batteries being disconnected and the fuse out.
But the bigger part of that story is that this car was wrecked in February.
Hmm.
So this has been sitting on a lot, waiting for salvage, waiting for the Tesla guy to come. And it wasn't the fire department, it was the Tesla guy.
Oh.
So the Tesla guy shows up, says, I'm here to secure this battery, pulls a fuse. 2 hours later, this thing is a smoldering inferno.
Well, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. So
did he also stab the battery with a screwdriver while he was there?
I don't know. Maybe that fuse was the only thing holding it together at that point. You know, it's like when the doctors, you know, you go in and they cure one thing and then they find the cancer. You know, that's a common story.
Well, good news. It's only a kidney infection, but you also have rectal cancer.
Yeah. So it's too bad. Although it is statistically, there's not that many fires, but this is the second or third one that's happened after the wreck, and it's just been sitting in a salvage yard somewhere.
Yeah, which, that's definitely unusual.
I mean, if you're salvaging Teslas, store them outdoors.
I guess the lesson here is that after every wreck, you're just going to have to disconnect the battery pack and pop it out and store it somewhere else.
There was another story I didn't put in here, but some guy's garage burned down, and there was a Tesla and another car in there. He's blaming the Tesla. But of course, there's no proof. Anyway, because...
Good luck with the insurance claim.
Could have been an electrical fire unrelated to the car. So that's why I didn't put it in there. But still, when you hear stories like this, that gets in people's heads. And they're like, maybe I don't want a fireball. Yeah. But some good news for Musk in amongst his burning Teslas, an excellent space launch.
SpaceX has lost the
center. Oh, these are out of order. They're out of order. Oh, wait. No, they're not. Oh, I didn't put the... Okay. So we assume... Everything was good up until this. That's the point. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So SpaceX has lost the center core of its Falcon Heavy rocket due to choppy seas. So this is, I think, the second. So Falcon Heavy has got three stages that land independently. One of them slammed into the ocean, but the other two landed successfully on a concrete pad. So this was attempting to land on a drone ship, and it did. It landed successfully. So Falcon Heavy was totally recovered. It was fine. The drone ship was on its way back with the center stage when rough seas made it fall over. Now, I know what you're thinking. It needs to, like, have a clamp or some sort of locking mechanism. It does. The drone ship totally does. But the center rocket is different from the rockets on the edge, and so the locking mechanism is different. And the locking mechanism for the center part of the rocket was not ready yet.
Maybe something to get ready before you do the launch.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's in the ocean now.
They were thinking they might be able to salvage some of the stuff out of it. I guess, like, they're going to just fish it out. I don't know. But they claim that that will not affect them going forward with further Falcon Heavy launches.
It's cool. We got more.
They'll have a new centerpiece, but they'll reuse those boosters again. However, the crew-carrying Dragon capsule, maybe not so much.
It was undergoing a test fire, and the smoke was seen for miles as the SpaceX crew Dragon suffers an anomaly at Cape Canaveral. So the Tesla spokespeople were very, very careful to constantly refer to whatever happened as an anomaly. We don't know.
No, there's a video. There's a Twitter video. It exploded. That's the anomaly. It's like, there's black smoke, so you can't really see, but it seems like at 1 second, there's the capsule, and the next second, there's no more capsule. The little legs are still there, but no more capsule.
What? So, that doesn't sound like an anomaly. That sounds like a catastrophic failure.
And they were going to test or display, like, they have this cool system where if they have to abort the launch, the capsule's got its own little fuel system to launch them to safety.
Is that what happened?
I don't know if it was a failure of that or whatever, but... You know, kind of ironic that that's what they were going to show off.
Well, I mean, if it quote-unquote exploded, it might be that it launched to safety, so that it might be somewhere else.
Hey, but based on this explosion, I don't think the crew would have launched to safety. Survived. I mean, you know, we might have eventually buried them.
We found a leg.
Dark. We talked about New York City in the last episode and how some of the politicians are probably catching a lot of flack from the, you know, the rich people, the business owners, and the people who want to bring big business to New York because they ran off Amazon. And you don't say no to Amazon. That's not acceptable. So they seem to be struggling. It's like, okay, we bring business in. We got to get everybody in here. And this seems to have fueled this.
Netflix is going to invest $100 million in a New York City production hub. So what? They can get about a 2,000 square foot office?
Yeah, it's 6 sound stages. So, I mean, well, a general movie studio like in Hollywood, they probably have a lot more than that, right?
Yeah.
But they do talk about, they do produce a couple of Netflix original series in New York already.
Mm.
So they probably rent production space for those. And they're going to create a certain number of jobs. Those jobs are the reason that New York is going to give them tax breaks and some cash. But the agreement is they must maintain those jobs.
Interesting.
So
it'll be interesting to see how this develops as well. I mean, it could be, Netflix could go the way of like relatively, I don't want to say low budget because it's not low budget, but like daytime television production where it's a little bit of a meat grinder, but it's very efficient in terms of like use of actors' time. Like they'll, you know, one set is used for like 3 or 4 different TV shows.
I'm always amazed at how few days game show people work.
Yeah.
Because they'll do an entire month in 4 or 5 days. But that's got to be a brutal 4 or 5 days.
If only we could do that with the Level 1 news. We're going to shoot all the news in a 2-week period for the entire year.
That would be interesting to see what we predicted. And in other movie news, which should surprise absolutely no one, remember that business that was going to let you watch all the movies you wanted for a ridiculously low price per month? Well, they're not doing too well.
MoviePass has lost over 90% of its subscribers in less than a year, according to this report. So, MoviePass, yeah. They put all kinds of restrictions on it because people were just living at the movie theater. Turns out a lot of people that were on like fixed income or retired or didn't have a job were like, MoviePass, that sounds great. I will fill my hours with movies. And that was bad for their bottom line.
3 a month was the new rule, which is a big difference between 3 and infinite, or well, you're constrained by time. How many movies do you think you could watch a month if you absolutely were just doing nothing else?
Around 100.
Probably. Maybe more than that, because they do like, you know, the weird times sometimes. Yeah. And then you could easily get 3 or 4 a day, I think. So, yeah, a little over 100. Anyway, they went to 3, and they had like some blackout times, and you couldn't watch newer movies. You know, Avengers Endgame, forget it. You're not watching on MoviePass. Then they gave back the upgraded account, but it went to $15 a month. And again, there were all these weird restrictions. So they've lost at least 90%. Now, here's the other thing about it. They were trying to hide this because they were still counting the people. Because when they went from unlimited to 3, you had to agree. And you had 3 options. You could to get all your money back. You could go to the 3 or you could upgrade to the other account. Everybody who just hadn't made a decision yet and were in limbo, they were counting as subscribers for their investors. So
that's something the SEC should look into and be like, nope, that's not how that works.
Well, I don't think that it's going to be blood from stone because this they're going out of business. But yeah. Too bad. If you were one of those people who was enjoying the movie lifestyle with MoviePass, feel bad for you. The story is, it seems inevitable. I think right, of course, the headline here is they're not going to do it. But I cannot imagine a future where somebody chooses to go ahead with this.
Pepsi has dropped plans to use an orbital billboard. Yes, that's right. We've entered that period of our history where we can launch ads into space and have them orbit the planet.
So you see they're advertising Loca-Cola here. That's not real. That's an artist's rendition of what it would look like. But the idea is very reflective things put into space. So when it comes to nighttime and the sun hits that reflector, when it's not hitting your part of the Earth, you're going to see it.
It made it sound like there's a company that is deploying microsatellites with the Mylar sails. And so these little microsatellites would reconfigure the sails to paint a logo or something in orbit.
Yeah, and it would affect somewhat limited geographical region.
Yeah.
You could probably see it other places, but you'd be looking at an angle. It might not make sense.
Yeah.
Although they could probably make the sales. Hell, you could do two different advertisements for two different places if you got the angle right. They're not going to do it. This was Pepsi that was thinking about doing that. They're not going to do it because somebody at Pepsi, this came across their desk, and that shakily they picked up the phone and they were like, "What are you thinking? People will crucify us for this." The interesting thing about it is, this was some forward thinking. Somebody in the government, for once, there are laws against this in the U.S. But this company, the Orbital Billboard Company, was going to launch from Russia. And what are you going to do about it? Space, bro.
Well, we had that. There was that company that was launching Pico satellites from California. They couldn't get a permit, so they had India do it, and then they just piloted it over to.
Yeah.
That did not end well for that company.
They did it. It turned out to be shitty.
Yeah.
You couldn't really see it that well. But this is the exact same idea. And like I said, Pepsi backed off because they're smart and they knew that. I mean, you imagine Twitter.
Think about in history. It's like Pepsi was the first company in history to advertise in space. Yeah.
But somebody who doesn't care and, no such thing as bad press is going to do this.
Yeah. I wonder if NASA could sell advertising space on the space station.
They mentioned that that law does not affect logos. They said the shuttle and the boosters. I don't know about the space station. But you can put, we could NASCAR up the shuttle.
I think we need to do that because, come on.
And here's something. If you're somebody who has a child who has ADHD and you're thinking, what can I do about it? Here's a new medical treatment that may sound a little archaic.
The FDA has okayed the first medical device to treat ADHD in children. It looks like some headgear strapped to a kid and they're playing a video game, but they've got to concentrate.
It's electrical shock. And actually, I don't know why they're using this picture because it's while you sleep. You put this thing on your head, and so they estimate that the attention part of your brain is right up here. And so this thing is just going to gently stimulate that while you sleep.
Gently apply a corrective electric shock.
Pretty much. They've only done one study, but it looks promising based on the one study.
That's disturbing.
Yeah. Shocking, you might say.
That's worth an update right there.
If you've been on Steam, all the time, but it seems like they're getting more and more common these days, are like the hentai clicker sex games.
Not anymore.
Well, they will be on Steam. Where they won't be is on the Sony store.
Sony has clamped down on sexual content in PS4 games. It is worried about the potential to harm its reputation. So this is apparently a thing happening in Japan, sexualization of the girls in video games. It talks about Devil May Cry
5. That's nothing new. What they're worried about is the Western sensibilities. Again, the Twitter storm that will come when some kid downloads hentai clicker from the Sony store.
But they even modified Devil May Cry 5, which is pretty mainstream.
Yeah. And there have been games that had female nudity as part of them. There's I remember Silent Hill. The Silent Hill games had like the naked, scary nurses.
Oh, yeah.
That was terrifying. I've been watching Penny Dreadful, and they have some like scary naked girls. Scary naked girls are like scary children, where it's like really effective because it's something that isn't scary. And it evokes other emotions, but then it's scary, and your mind's just like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. So, yeah. They pointed out Devil May Cry 5 and some other game where they had to use lens flares.
Yeah.
To lens flare out like a nipple or something.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. Kind of going the YouTube route there.
Super paranoid about every little thing. So it's overcompensation in the other direction.
In a world where it seems like it's interesting because in our day, being into programming and computers was very much not cool.
No.
Very much the opposite. Maybe perhaps as far as you could get on the spectrum. But these days, people kind of, carry that as a badge of honor. Like sometimes, remember the one girl who... She Instagrammed something and she was like, "Oh, working hard on my code." And it was just the worst Python code that you've ever seen. And people tore her apart. She's like, it wasn't even real. I was just practicing. But anyway, it's become something that people want to be identified as. Mm-hmm. And they want to be more mainstream with it. And it's like, I think this may be a child of that.
Microsoft has debuted Bosk, a new programming language with no loops that's been inspired by TypeScript. So it's about mutability and, you know, that kind of stuff. So they're trying to do away with loops, and maybe it's going to be easier to program because you can't mutate something.
I couldn't get my head around it. Like, I'd have to go and look at some examples, but
yeah,
what? It's like the first time you looked at Lisp. Like, what?
There's a lot of parentheses here. I mean, man, if everybody adopted Lisp, there would be a worldwide parentheses shortage.
I don't think Lisp is going to make programming more accessible to the masses. Maybe, though. And I was just talking to somebody the other day who's looking to build a NAS. And it's like, look, he's like, I want to get some hard drives. And you look at the deal sites, and they are just basically giving them away. You know, how many terabytes you want, bro? And this seems to confirm that.
Trend Focus, Tom's Hardware, says that HDD shipments have fell to 77 million in the first quarter of 2019. Nobody wants spinning Rust anymore, because why would you?
Because it's super cheap.
But it's just, SSDs have gotten super cheap as well. I mean, you get a 1 terabyte drive for around $100, give or take, and 2 terabytes is within reach. 4 terabytes is not insanely expensive, but yeah, mechanical hard drives are pushing 8, 10, 12 terabytes, and the people that are buying them are the people that need massive amounts of storage. But gone are the days, I think, of adding a mechanical hard drive to your machine for game storage, because a 1 terabyte, even a slow, you know, quote-unquote slow 1 terabyte SSD, you know, $150 at the most.
I got one for 85.
Yeah.
It was a Samsung, too. Not the Evo, but the one down from the Evo.
Oh, yeah.
A terabyte for 85.
With the OEM Samsung, yeah.
I mean, how are you going to turn that down?
Yeah, I mean, just... Yeah. You will save that. If your time is worth more than $1 an hour, you will make that cost differential up by not having to wait on your machine.
But if you are building the NAS and you want, you know, 12 terabytes, now's the time. Now's the time to strike. Just clicking through on...
I am excited by the $100 8 terabyte, like, WD Reds for, like, $125. That is actually very exciting because... Maybe we can upgrade the level 1 video storage server. It's exciting times.
NBC News, they'll give you the non-ad block version, but you got to click for it. And now we enter into the social media block, which is all Facebook except one story. And this one is somewhat damning. When you talk earlier, we talked about them putting Zuckerberg in jail and trying to protect him from that. This is what I was talking about with that, is because you asked something about, like, is jail really fair, or can we really blame him for what Facebook is? We can't blame him necessarily for people abusing it and getting addicted to it and all that, but then you read something like this.
Mark Zuckerberg leveraged Facebook user data to fight rivals and help friends, leaked documents show. So what they're talking about, what Ryan's talking about, is there are emails on record now of Mark Zuckerberg literally saying, hey, this guy at this company, he's a good guy, and they've got a lot of data. Why don't we share all of our data with him, and maybe he'll give us some of his data? And then other people that were kind of competing with Facebook or having some more stuff is like, no, we're not going to give them any user data. Totally seeing the users as cattle. Like, there was no respect. There was no, like, considering. It's like, oh, maybe we should think about this before user privacy. No, it was, these are cattle to be slaughtered. This is how this works.
There was also discussion of directly selling data for money. Now, that's something that Facebook has never done, as far as we know.
No.
But there, it
they
was,
considered it.
It was floated, which, and if you, I think he said in public a bunch of times, especially with the Cambridge Analytica stuff, he was like, hey, all these newspaper articles are coming out talking about we're selling data. We don't sell data. He was doing like the white girl clap. It's like, we don't sell data. But that's true, they don't. But it was on the table. Yeah, it wasn't as cut and dry as he makes it sound.
I was picturing something a little different in my head. It was like, you know, you ever read one of those nonfiction books that talks about, like, the serial killer, and it's like the account of the child psychologist, where, like, the child psychologist is recounting, like, their first interview with the kid, and, you know, the child psychologist presents a hypothetical situation, and the kid is like, oh, well, that's an easy situation to solve. Just kill so-and-so. And it's just, you know, very cold and very cut and dry. That's how I've sort of read some of the stuff that, Zuckerberg was talking about. It's like, oh, we need money for this or whatever. Yeah, it's cool. Just sell the user's data. It's fine. And then later, the reason they didn't sell user data is because somebody was like, well, now, Mark, we can't murder people. We can't just go around indiscriminately murdering people. That's not okay. And he's like, oh, that's not okay? Oh.
But see, I doubt it was even that. I bet the thing that stopped him was when they crunched the numbers, the data was worth more. Not selling it directly for money, which is probably true, right?
Oh, man, he's worth more to us alive than dead. Well, I guess he gets to live.
And how is that data valuable, you ask? Like, what are you going to do with it? How do you monetize it? Well, maybe you look at something that's already on the market and you say, based on the things we know about people, we can make a better version of that.
Facebook is working on a voice assistant to rival Amazon Alexa and Apple Siri. Gosh, talking to Facebook as a disembodied AI. There is not a more dystopian level one headline.
Of course, the image is him. Yeah. I think they're too smart to use him as the face of it. But yeah, that would be so unsettling.
the Mark AI. It's like, hey, Mark, I would like to crush my rivals and build my empire. Sure thing. I'll be glad to help you with that.
Dr. Z. Dr. Z, what's the weather today? So yeah, they have what's the name of their Alexa thing that they've got? The one with the camera?
Oh, Facebook Home or something?
That's not Home. They mentioned it here. But anyway, they got their little thing that is in your house, and we assume that's what they're going to load this thing into. Of course, they would also put it on your phone, on the Facebook app and everything. And they don't really say what it would... Portal. That's the name of it. They don't really say what it would do that the others don't, but you have to assume if they can tie it into your social circle, that would attract some people.
We need all of your data to protect you from all of the other services having all of your data. It's like, I'm not sure that's how that works. Yeah.
I'm going to protect your money. So just put it in this bag and give it to me. That's what's going to happen. Then we talked about the leak. Facebook had the new leak. Was that last week or the week before?
It's for the last 3 weeks.
But the one, this one that they were talking about.
The logs. We originally covered that 3 weeks ago.
So it turns out, after they started looking into that, they found a little something more. But, actually, I think we're two stories about this. I won't say the other part yet.
So, the first part is Facebook has unintentionally uploaded email contacts from 1.5 million users. So, this was, if Facebook has built as I understand it, I might not be, because it's sort of, I don't think this CNET article got all the details exactly right, but from my understanding of it, was that if Facebook built a shadow profile of you, meaning that your friends had submitted some data about you and that kind of thing, Facebook already knew your email address, but you didn't have a quote-unquote official Facebook account, if you then tried to sign up with Facebook, it would be like, okay, well, we've got you on file, but since you don't have an account, we need you to prove who you are because we don't want rogues taking over your stuff. So why don't you give us your password for your email account? Then we will log on to your email, which we know is yours from all your friends, and make sure it's okay. But when you did that, Facebook would scrape all of the stuff from your email provider. Oops.
And it's not, they weren't even hiding it. A little window popped up that was like, importing your contacts. So clearly, they had built that OAuth to import your contacts. Yeah. And then someone was like, well, we already have that. Let's just use that again. But they left that part in. Intentionally? Probably. I got this completely wrong. That's a new thing. I was talking about the leak, which is actually from the next story, because they leaked a bunch of passwords. That was very embarrassing for them. But when they started looking into it internally, they found something more. But they didn't tell anybody until now. Why would they wait?
This is the thing from 3 weeks ago. Facebook has waited until the Mueller report dropped in order to tell us that millions of Instagram passwords were exposed. Now, remember when we first reported this 3 weeks ago that Facebook said that this logging of plain text passwords was an internal system. Only developers had access to it. It was very limited in scope, maybe a few thousand people. And then the data showed up on Amazon S3. And then now it's millions of users, and Instagram users are also affected. We've gone from like a thimble-sized amount of data to a small moon-sized amount of data.
And, of course, the Mueller report, everybody. I read it. I still don't understand it. All I know is both sides are completely convinced that they were right all along based on the outcome of it. But it captured the world's imagination. Everybody was looking into it, and you just slide this under the rug.
I heard that he was going to put the full unredacted report up on Patreon because I, too, struggled to understand what the heck was going on.
On our Patreon? Is that what you're saying? That's not true. That's false advertising.
No, it's Mueller's... No, I don't know. He's got a... No, he doesn't have a Patreon. I'm just making stuff up.
Yeah. That's
in before correction.
We won't go into that because there's no way you can satisfy everybody talking about that. And I'm so out of touch.
The timing there though is really like, oh, that's a coincidence that it's timed that way. No, that was deliberate. Facebook, like, that was 3 weeks ago. Facebook has been sitting on that for 3 weeks. You can't tell me that the tech team took 3 weeks to figure that out. They knew.
And we knew.
They knew. And we knew that they knew.
We knew, was it Friday before last they announced that it was going to be the following Thursday?
Yeah.
So they had a pretty good window. Where they're like, oh, okay, we'll do it that day. Yeah. So
they didn't.
Smart, but evil. Yeah. Which, you know, that's Facebook, right?
Speaking of smart, but evil.
And a non-Facebook story, the only one in the social media section. This one has to do with Twitter.
Stars goes on a Twitter meta censorship spree to cover up TV show leaks. So they censored the EFF and Torrent Freak, or they issued DMCA takedown notices, which had the effect of censorship for Torrent Freak and the EFF reporting that Stars, someone had leaked a bunch of TV shows like American Gods that had not been released or published yet. And the reason for that is because they included screenshots from the TV shows that hadn't been released yet. And that's clear overreach.
So the first Torrent Freak tweet had one frame of each show, maybe? Okay, maybe that's copyright. That's
proof.
Maybe. EFF's tweet did not. It had a logo, I think, for one of the shows, but it wasn't part of the leaked document. Also, in neither case were there any links whatsoever to the copyright material.
There was no link to, like, here, go download it from here. It was literally, hey, they had a leak. Lol.
And when you fill out a DMCA, there's all these fields you got to fill out because it's a legal document. And the EFF gets a copy of theirs. So they noted that in the DMCA, the reason for the takedown was links to bootleg. And then there's another field for provide the links that were the links that you're complaining about. And they just put not applicable.
Yeah. That is deliberately in bad faith.
And you have to swear. You have to swear in testimony that the DMCA is true when you issue it. So
this is a preview of the adventures you guys in the UK are going to have, because in the last episode we talked about the whole link tax thing and all that stuff. Like, the DMCA is awful. It is a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. The stuff that's happening in the EU makes it look reasonable by comparison. So this is a microcosm of your future in the UK, and probably our own future as well, because once it's working in the EU, it'll work everywhere.
But it's going to be way more disturbing in the EU, because what's going to happen is this will never happen, because this will happen like 2-3 times, and then the companies just get so scared they begin to filter this on their own.
Nobody is allowed to talk to anybody else.
Yeah, we never have
any non-official content.
We won't ever even hear about it. It'll just be silent oppression and no pornography. What kind of world is that?
There's no pornography in the UK. That hasn't made its way to the EU yet. It will. But it will.
You wait.
Yeah. Australia. It's surprising, though. I'm surprised that didn't happen in Australia first, because Australia is usually where they try the crazy stuff, and it's like, well, we got away with it in Australia. Let's try it in the Europe.
Isn't Australia kind of famously cavalier about sexual stuff?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they have that. That whole, like, British morality repression, I don't think that's a thing in Australia.
I wonder if that's because, like, any little thing could kill you in Australia. Like, they're just happy to be alive another day.
They want to get those kids breeding as quickly as possible because of the short lifespan due to the fauna.
Environmental threats. All right, we'll see you Friday.
Friday will be robots, a little bit of science. We won't do design because Chris put design stories in there, and then she didn't show up because of the edibles. And of course, nonsense. So, look forward to that.